The home country of that website is preparing for an election. Bahrain is choosing a parliament, and the vote has exposed a religious division. For years now, the country's Sunni Muslim rulers have promised more political rights to Shia Muslims. But this year, the government is cracking down on Shias. Many Arab governments seem concerned about the influence of Iran, the giant Shia-dominated nation across the Persian Gulf. NPR's Peter Kenyon traveled to Bahrain.
Bahrain's road toward opening up its absolute monarchy has been bumpy, but there was always the sense that each side acted within limits. Young Shiites would rally for better housing and job opportunities, the government would arrest some of them, and they would be later pardoned. But Bahrainis say this time it feels different.
This blackened intersection near a poor Shiite neighborhood is testimony to the numerous tire-burning demonstrations staged here by young Bahrainis. They're complaining of neglect and discrimination. But a few weeks ago, the government launched a ferocious response. NGOs were muzzled or shut down, human rights leaders were jailed, and the government announced it had uncovered an organized terror and destruction network that was plotting to incite acts of terror, rioting, and sabotage with the aim of overthrowing the government. There were ominous references to foreign powers and outside forces, which some hardliners took to mean Iran.
Human rights groups say some of the detained activists were tortured, and there were other signs that this was not just another roundup to be followed by amnesty. In an interview with Al Hayat newspaper, Foreign Minister Sheikh Khaled Al Khalifa said the detainees were part of a 200-member terrorist network engaged in what he called a rehearsal for what similar groups are preparing to do in other GCC countries, which include Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, Oman, and Kuwait. He said the detainees had received money and training abroad, but stopped short of accusing Iran. The crackdown came as sectarian unease percolated through the region. Kuwait stripped a top Shiite cleric of his citizenship after remarks that were deemed offensive to Sunnis, and Bahrain did the same with one of its own Shiite clerics. In Saudi Arabia, minority Shiite figures have been quietly arrested. Analysts say the palpable Sunni-Arab angst over Iran's regional ambitions shows no sign of easing. In Bahrain, it hasn't escaped the opposition's notice that this crackdown has also served to sideline many Shiite political assets just before the elections. Khalil Al-Marzouk is spokesman for Al-Wefaq, the largest Shiite bloc in parliament. He says even though the elected lower house of parliament is effectively stymied by the government-appointed Shura Council, apparently that's not enough for Bahrain's rulers.
Unfortunately, the government, when they fail to address something politically, they use two tools, sectarian and confrontation in the street. They are forcing us by this crackdown so that parliament is be weaker. They are blocking every site, every newsletter.
Some Bahrainis are frustrated that the international media find it so easy to portray the situation simply as sectarian strife, when to them it's the ruling elite versus everyone else. Sunni opposition lawmaker Ibrahim Sharif says besides being embarrassed by the street protests, the government is angry over opposition criticism of lucrative privileges given to the ruling family and their allies. And he says regional suspicions about Iran have given them an opportunity.
Basically, they are redefining now the rule of the game. They are saying you had this high of a ceiling, now we're bringing the ceiling down on you.
Supporters of the government argue that this is a matter of security, not political advantage. Faisal Fulad is a pro-government Shura Council member and head of a government-backed human rights group. When asked if these tensions are a setback for Bahrain's move toward democracy, he says yes, but only a temporary one.
I think the king always thinking about the reform. I'm 100% sure. We have any feeling that the reform will continue because 23, there is election.
The elections may still be scheduled for October 23rd, but for Mansour El-Jamri, editor of the Wasat newspaper and an early supporter of reform, the ferocity of this crackdown that began in mid-August has the feel of something more final.
A new era had already begun. Now, could we restore what we had before the 13th of August 2010? This is a big question. We should be rational enough that we could talk it through. But if those who are taking decisions now are not prepared to listen, then we might be heading to a very bleak situation.
Peter Kenyon, NPR News.